second Sunday after Trinity is written in Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Ephesians chapter 2. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. When one of those who reclined at the table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and there still is room. The master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the second Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Thus far the text. You don't have to walk around very long before you eventually see someone asking for help. You will always have is never enough. How many of you barely made it here today because of financial strains? But only days from now, you will buy that thing that really isn't needed. How many have fridges and freezers filled with food, but then also complain of having nothing to eat, or say that you're starving? You're well acquainted with want. According to the flesh. And meanwhile, it seems that in the world, there's never just enough. The parable of the Great Supper is precise because it points out how the flesh wants what it wants, always wanting. But when it comes to things eternal, things of God, the flesh wants nothing to do with them, because the flesh does not fear, love, and trust in God, nor the things of God. Only the Holy Spirit brings such a yearning. Only the Spirit creates a hunger for true righteousness. The flesh wants to decide what it considers wisdom. God's wisdom is different. Man is always found wanting, but only what man wants. So in this parable of things eternal, things of the Spirit, God, just as he did with Adam and Eve in the garden, pursues your flesh for nothing more than that he would give. The Lord is a giver. He begs to give that others may have. This is the aim of the Holy Spirit, that he may give and that you may receive. God's gospel language demands nothing but that he give and that you have. Come, for everything is now ready. That is how God speaks. And when God speaks this way, it is not even that you may receive in some kind of abstract, intellectual, vague way, like some kind of just use this for now and I'll give you the real stuff later language. But instead, God speaks in such a way that you have something, as real and tangible and satisfying, as a feast, a wedding feast, sumptuously appointed, able to fill all of you and those around the world who will partake of it, yet without even making a dent in what is offered. When it's a cup that comes from the hand of God, then it's a cup which always runneth over. For God's word does what it says. But what does God's word reveal in this parable regarding such bountifulness, regarding such a gracious invitation, which not deserved in the first place? Reveals that the Lord is ready to give. He's ready to satisfy all hunger. But no one cares to receive what he has to give. The Spirit of God is willing. The flesh of man is weak. One man actually chooses work, the tending of his fields, rather than partake of God's invitation to eat and rest. Another would rather examine his newly purchased oxen than eat the fruits of God's gracious provision. Finally, still another cannot celebrate the marriage feast of God because, ironically, it's his own marriage that he believes demands his full and undivided attention. In all of these cases, the flesh says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. How was this misspoken? He missed the kingdom of God who was sitting right in front of him. For the kingdom of God is always where Christ himself is truly present. The man's flesh spoke from its wisdom. The wisdom of God, the kingdom of God, was already there in his midst. As John the Baptist himself says, the kingdom of God is at hand, as he was speaking of Christ and pointing to Christ. The kingdom John speaks about is none other than the man, Jesus Christ, on earth, in the flesh, with Jesus present. This can be no spirit food or abstract intellectual vague food, like when people get together to share an idea or share a metaphor, as if the kingdom of God were not really there, but just merely talked about. It's not even that there is an eating according to your hearts. It's more than that, because to eat bread in the kingdom of God is a here and now invite. As Christ is bodily present in bread and wine, which at the same time is his body and blood, you are the ones of whom God speaks when he writes in Proverbs, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of the insight. What else is he inviting you to partake of? Leave the simple or foolish ways of your flesh. How exactly is that done? The answer, being of God's Spirit, is by the grace of God, repent and live and walk in the way of true insight. That is, truly live and walk by the grace of God, by faith, truly live and walk in Christ. For it is he who is the wisdom of God. Eat of his bread and drink of the wine he has mixed. Real food, real drink for the forgiveness of sins. Here, now, delivered through the office ordained by God, given for you, straight from the hand of God. But the invitation to the feast is rejected. And God is a jealous God. He is not pleased with this ongoing blasphemy, the blasphemy that seeks the things of God outside of God, the worship of created things rather than the Creator. Instead of living as beggars and receiving beauty from outside, from the one who has the power to declare you to be so much more complete and whole, forever filled and truly beautiful through his simple gift of faith. Instead, the devil, the world, and your sinful nature make you the chief creator of your own beauty. God's cup perpetually runs over while your sinful flesh constantly tries to get filled with everything else what one truly needs. And so the Lord is rejected. But it's his response that is staggering. It's not to have the people bound in chains and simply dragged in against their wills. This is no Calvinist Lord whose grace is irresistible, where he chooses some to go to heaven whether they like it or not. The Lord allows himself to be stood up. He allows himself to be rejected. Love risks rejection for the salvation of others. In God's case, and in the case of those properly proclaiming his law and gospel, it's worth repeating. Love risks rejection for the salvation of others. Indeed, the Lord, the one who is love, tells this parable even as he makes his way to the place of the people's greatest rejection of him. He tells this parable as he makes his way to the cross. For just before our text, as he makes his way, Christ laments, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you are not willing." Yet again, the word reveals that God's Spirit is willing, but the flesh of man is weak. At Jerusalem, those who acted on your behalf requested the freeing of a convicted murderer rather than the Father's only begotten Son. That alone points to the flesh's futility, to the flesh's wrong-headedness, to the flesh's downright hatred of God. And even though he allows himself to be rejected, he does not give up on you. He gladly makes his way through Jerusalem to take his place. He goes to die, making atonement for the forgiveness of your sins, and that is what makes everything now ready. He is making satisfaction. He continually pursues you, that he would give you what he alone has merited for you, that you would believe and be justified. He might very well be cast out by the self-righteous, but his table is set for sinners anyhow. And those who receive are the ones brought to believe that they were never worthy enough to be having what God was giving. Why? Because God's Spirit is willing to bring this about, not the flesh. Those who receive in this parable are the ones who are driven by the poverty of the flesh, the deaf, the lame, the maimed, and the blind. The poverty of the flesh receiving what cannot be gained through themselves. You are driven by contrition over the poverty of your own souls, the lust, the greed, the envy, the pride, the skipping of church and thinking that it's not that big of a deal. The poverty of your flesh receives sins, the cleansing of your souls and bodies, and finally, the ability to stand righteous before God now and on the last day. My God created faith alone. The law of God properly makes you beggars. The law makes you despair of everything that your flesh thinks it needs, but only does it only to mercifully drive you to Christ, your only refuge. And as you sojourn on in this valley of the shadow of death, God pursues you to partake of Him. What He has to give is enough. His grace is sufficient. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Truly living off of the manna from heaven. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Blessed are those who eat bread in the kingdom of God right here. Right now, and as He is here present through His word and sacraments, blessed are you indeed. Come, for everything is now ready. Thanks alone to the atoning merits of Christ Jesus.